Welcome to Joyful Marketing. I'm Simone Soul, and I teach you how to get your life coaching practice fully booked without having to pay for ads, buy Instagram followers, or complicated sales funnels. It's not rocket science, and you can do it too. Listen on to find out how.
Hey friends, I am so excited to present to you today my conversation with my mastermind client, Dr. Elizabeth Levitin. Elizabeth, as we call her, made more than $100,000 in just the 6 months of the mastermind. And what's so interesting about her business is that when she first came into the mastermind, she already had a pretty successful Facebook ad funnel going that was creating leads and paying clients for her, but she wanted to take her business to the next level and learn and master organic marketing. And listen, near the end of the mastermind, she had created a steady stream of clients with her organic marketing. She did it. She's going to talk all about that shift. Also, super important, Elizabeth is going to tell us how she doubled her price for the same six-month coaching package from $5,000 to $10,000 in the course of her mastermind and successfully is signing new clients into the new price. No drama, no fuss. And if you are thinking about increasing your price, doubling your price, please, please, please get your pen, get your notebook, begin to take notes, because we're going to talk about the coaching that she got in the mastermind and the work that she did in advance of raising her price, which is so important that if you do it, it's going to guarantee that you continue to sign clients without interruption when you raise your prices. Like, I want nobody under my watch, nobody in my world who's listening to my podcast to have a difficult, stressful experience increasing prices. It's not necessary. You don't have to. Listen to our conversation about that. Okay, without further ado, here it is. I present to you my conversation with Dr. Elizabeth Levitin. You are going to love it and learn so much. Here it goes.
I think, okay, so a little bit of background for our listeners. Elizabeth came into the mastermind with a coaching business that was already like pretty successful, and you were getting all of your leads from a paid ad funnel, right?
It was pretty much like all of them, like maybe with the exception of one or two.
Yeah. So that's a huge accomplishment to have a Facebook ad funnel working so well that you actually are getting a consistent stream of clients from it. But she came into my mastermind saying, hey, I want to hack organic marketing. And I want to know how to get clients through organic marketing. And we made that, or she made that her goal. And we were supporting her in that. And do you remember how like confused you were about it in the beginning?
It was just like, so my whole intention was to learn how to market organically, to not have to pay for leads and just, you know, again, organic marketing, it sounds like a dream. And I like, it was too, the underlining thought was very graspy. It was like, and I also felt like that was the answer. And anytime we think that one thing is the answer, it's not.
It's not.
It's not. It's us. It's our thoughts. It's our mindset around all of it. And I just have to say, like, the thing that really like switched gears as well, there's so many things, but when we were talking about our winning results, and it had nothing to do with organic marketing in the sense of like, I have to learn it. I remember mine where I still have them here on my wall, basically to just be unattached to the ebb and flows of signing clients, right? Without it meaning anything about me, to love and just have fun with my marketing. Yeah. And like that in itself just felt so freeing. And yeah. It just created the space for me to play. Like I didn't have to create any specific result except just have fun with it.
So I want to say, just to summarize, like this really is the key that makes organic marketing starting to work for people. So I'm actually just wading into the lands of paid ads myself. And so that whole realm is like pretty mysterious to me. But I think when people start ads pretty naively in the beginning, or when people start marketing naively, not because they're like naive people, but just because it's new, right? I think we look at it in a very, like in different podcast episodes before, I have described it as a transactional approach, right? When we take a transactional approach, meaning like when we conventionally think about marketing, it's like, okay, I'm going to put in some input. I'm going to create some input, and then there's going to be output, Like, I'm going to make this many posts and I better get this much response, right? So, and when people think in this kind of like mathematical transactional way, first of all, it's not fun, right? Like, they're not posting from a place like that you're talking about, of like having fun and just wanting to connect and serve. Every time they put something out there, they're like doing math in their heads, right? Like, okay, well, that was it. Right. And especially if you feel like you tried very hard on the, you worked very hard on the post to get the messaging just right. And you worked on that call to action for half an hour to make sure that it just hits all the right notes and it says all the right things. And you engineered this thing and then you put it out in the world and you're just like, oh my God, I'm exhausted. And then you're just like waiting, like, okay, who's going to bite? Who's going to bite? Right. And so that's what I call that's a transactional approach to marketing, and it's not fun, and it's not terribly effective, because like Elizabeth said, it's not even what you say or how you say it. It's who you are being when you show up to the world, and who you are being when you're doing that is you're not authentically connecting. You're not truly letting the person on the other side of the screen get a feel for who you are. Because like, oh my God, I worked so hard on this. Like, they better like respond. That's not who you are. You're a coach. You love humans. You're like, I want to help them. I love you so much. I want you to stop suffering. I have all these great tools up my belt. It's like every coach I know is like an amazing human who loves connecting to other humans. And you snap out of being in that mode whenever you do transactional marketing. And for every single person who manages to stick around and try different things and fail long enough to figure it out, hits the point where they just let go of all of that. And they just decide, oh, the purpose of this post isn't to produce a consult or a client. This isn't tit for tat. I'm showing up to share who I am. I'm showing up to kind of transmit the energy of like loving my life and having fun and like inviting other people to that same experience, right? And this is just play. And exactly what you're talking about, that switch is everything. That's what makes organic marketing work. That's what draws clients towards you, right? And so that's when I think, Elizabeth, you like kind of realized your goal for the mastermind. Oh, I wanted to make organic marketing work. Now it's working.
Yeah. And I just wanted to like briefly add too, it was also like, it's like every person has their frequency. And I just felt like when I ended up having fun, like I switched my mindset to, this just gets to be fun and I get to play with my marketing and messaging. I was able to show up more authentically. And I feel like that just like creates it turns on my frequency. Mm-hmm. So my people can be drawn to me versus like what clouded it before was that like, needy. And it was like this like lower energy, because like creating all those posts and taking so much time to spending so much time to do them, it just was exhausting. So yeah.
Can I just ask you, I forgot to ask you, you said you were just having fun with your messaging. Remind everybody what your niche is. And everybody's asking like, how did you have fun? What did that look like? What did you actually do? So tell us some ways you had fun with it. You were creative with it, and tell us what your niche is.
Yeah. So basically I coach stressed out people to love their life through setting boundaries and prioritizing themselves so they can actually show up at work and in their personal lives with joy and ease.
Okay. I love that niche. Note everybody how undemographically specific it is. There is no demographic specificity here. It's not like, you know, moms in their mid-40s who live in the Midwest, you know, it's just like, hey, you stressed out, you overwhelmed. I can help you. And she totally is making it work. All right. So with that niche, what are some ways you had fun with organic marketing?
Yeah. So I think the big shift was for me where I ended up picking one day of the week where it was going to be like my sacred day where I get to create this ritual of like being at my desk and I just get to like channel all the messaging that I want to create. And I just gave myself like several hours to do that. So because before I was spending hours perfecting my post every single day and it just
worst use of time ever.
Exactly. So I turned it into this like delicious, like luxurious time to just be with me and my people. And because I created this like specific time frame, it was something I get to look forward to. And I just got to be playful. And I played around with like my posts don't have to be long. They don't have to be short. They can be anything I want them to be. So it was just giving myself like a specific time to just play. And what ended up happening is that I would just come up with all these ideas throughout the week that I would end up just putting on my like bookmark page. And I would like have all these ideas ready to go for my writing day. So I think like just
so you'd create like a bank of material of content, and then you would just get it all out in one day.
Yeah. But it like sometimes I would write posts if I'm like in the moment and it's all coming at me. But sometimes it's just, oh, this is a great idea. I'm going to do it for like on Friday. Friday is my admin day. And it's the mindset behind it of like, I get to talk to my people and just inspire them and just show up for them in this container of several hours. Just, this is my job. Like, I'm so fucking lucky. Like, that's just how I feel. And it just made it so much fun and not very pressury either.
I love that you said that, because there's so many, like everyone wants to know like how to, like what the strategy is, like how to, you know, like get ideas and batch them and whatever. And there's truly no right way. Like what Elizabeth said just sounds delightful, and it's worked really well for her. And it sounds like you just like created this beautiful play date with yourself, right? And just to play. Exactly. I love that. And you know, I rarely do that. I always just write whenever I have the inspiration, whenever I like jot ideas down. Whenever I revisit it, I'm always like, I don't remember what that was about. I feel like the inspiration just evaporated. So I don't do it that way. I always just write things on the fly. But there's no one right way. It's like, it's not what you do. It's what you're thinking, what you're feeling, who you are being when you do it. Brilliant. Okay. So where were we?
So you were asking me how I'm creating all the fun. And really that was it. And like, it really is just, It's how we do anything, right? So if we're dreading it, if it's going to feel heavy, I always like to think in like words, like is it light? Is it heavy? And before it just felt so heavy. And now I also created flexibility too. So even though, like I said, Friday is my like day to write post, if ideas come through, I'll write them. But also it's just, I like the spaciousness of knowing Friday is my day, but I get to be flexible if I want to.
Love it. Because you're the boss. Yeah. What would you say to people who have something, a similar niche as you, or maybe they're thinking about theirs and they're asking themselves, okay, you just said that you carved out this time to spend, you know, thinking about your people and playing, but how do you like, what if you don't know who your people are? Like, who are you thinking of? How do I know when I'm writing content, like who to think about? Like, what would you say to people who ask that?
So I always say, you know, imagine who is the person that you want to help, like what speaks to you. And that, I think the key is to know that it's probably going to change over time, multiple times. So sometimes I think it's so easy to get caught up in like, this is the one decision that I'm making. This is the one niche that I'm picking, but really it can develop. It can change as many times as we want. So in that moment, what do I want to speak about? You know, what lights me up? Like, because when we're feeling called to help that person with that thing, that's when the messaging really, I feel like, comes through so authentically, because we're like in it, like we're feeling that vibe, which again, it can change anytime we want. But yeah, I think that's kind of what worked for me.
That's brilliant. I think it's so true, especially if you have a general life coaching niche, but also even like for me, I think that my avatar, I think I have like 18 different avatars, so to speak. I don't use that term, but to use the term that everybody else is using, right? Like, and here's why. You, as Walt Whitman said, I hope it was Walt Whitman, you contain multitudes, right? You're not a flat stock character. You are a multidimensional, complex human being who has all these different sides to them. And if you talk from your heart, if you talk about all the things that light you up at different times, it's going to be different, right? Like, for example, I sometimes like to nerd out about like data and research and science, because that's part of my training in graduate school. And other times I'm like, oh, let's like read tarot cards and be all woo, right? And because that's a part of the tapestry of my life too. And if you're being very rigid about it, you might say, oh, those two are different types of people. But I'm like, no, I'm one person, right? Like I'm woo and I'm scientific. Like I'm analytical and I'm very intuitive. Like, and I have some clients and people in my orbit who are very like woo centric and that they're predominantly very woo. And I also have some people who are very scientific and analytical and that's primarily what they are, but it's none of my business to say, oh, you're my person. You're not. Like they let them decide. Right. Like I just talk about what lights me up all the time and let them opt in or opt out. And what I always find so fascinating is that I can never predict what about me draws someone in. Right. Like it's so funny because some people think erroneously that I'm like super perfect and I have all the answers figured out. And other people are like, oh, she's so imperfect. And that's so endearing and inspiring because it gives me permission to be imperfect too. And trying to be imperfect is never my strategy. I just show up and you get to see what I already am. So stop trying to engineer who your right person is. And like Elizabeth says, just remember that you do not have to make that decision now. That's so important, right? Yeah. Like who you want to talk to 5 hours from now could be totally different from who you want to talk to right now. And the reason it's all coherent, it's all congruent and makes sense is because it's all coming from you. There is a consistency there, even if you're talking about two totally different things. I'm going to try to talk less, but yeah, you were going to add something.
No, I just wanted to say like I love all of this. It's like, again, going back to the frequency, right? Like when we're inspired, we're just sending out a specific frequency to whoever needs to hear it in that moment. And it really doesn't matter what we're talking about. It's that frequency that attracts people to us. And the other thing too is, and I think you said this or someone in the mastermind, but like there are many right ways. So we don't need to find like one way to do something like perfectly. Like we get to change our minds and they all get to be our right ways basically. So it's that spaciousness again and moving away from rigidity that I think feels so good and allows me to step into that authenticity.
I love that word frequency because the frequency of your vibration, so to speak, it doesn't care about demographics, right? I always think about, you know how, what's your favorite kind of music, Elizabeth?
I love pop.
You love pop. Okay, let's think of something more. So for example, let's say like rock, right? Like hard rock. There are people who look like they love rock. Or they listen to rock and you're like, of course, you look like you're that kind of person. But then you also, you know how there's people who look they're like very sweet suburban soccer moms and you never expect that they would like rock, but they're like, actually, I love rock. And they just have this, you know, like rocker inside them. And that's, I think when you said frequency, that's what I thought about. It's like music is literally a frequency, right? And it resonates with people. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't say, hey, you're dressed this way. Like you must like this kind of music. It's like, so yeah, sometimes people self-identify that way, but so many other, that's such a reductive way of looking at the world. Remember, you can be like pop. You can be like rock. Like you're not just for certain types of people. Like your job is to just sound your music and let the suburban mom or the guy on the Harley Davidson or the farmer or the doctor, like let them say, oh, I'm into this or not, right?
Totally, totally. I love that. It's so true. And that's the thing. Like I don't know. I think different people navigate through the world in their own way. I do it through feeling. So for me, that frequency like just resonates with me where I get to like feel my way through the world. And when I'm connected to this, like to me and an idea just feels so good. Like I just know that that's the frequency that is necessary in that moment.
Which is so funny too, because we haven't said this yet, but you're also a doctor of pharmacy, right? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
You're a pharmacist. And I think you became a life coach because you're overcoming burnout from having been a pharmacist, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And I don't think from what I see in your marketing, it's not something you lead with. But I think it's interesting that you come from that analytical scientific background as well. And you're like, no, how I move through the world is feelings. And I think my guess is that people can sense that you also have that combination of like, oh, I can think in a logical, linear way, analytical way. And I can also teach you how to feel, which I think is so important when people are trying to overcome burnout and feel into what they really want to do in their lives, right?
Totally, totally. I feel like I'm this like mixture of analytical and just like mushy love, this like tough love and mama bear energy.
And if you are like Elizabeth, you don't have to pick one of those things to like be like, oh, this is my positioning. It's like, no, just be all of who you are, including all the messy stuff, including things that might change tomorrow or 2 weeks from now. You don't have to commit to anything other than feeling the way you want to feel. This sounds so like woo, but it's true, right?
Totally, totally.
Okay, now I have to ask you about doing the mindset work in order to double your price. So if you don't mind me sharing, you came into the mastermind charging $5,000 for a coaching package. How long is it?
6 months.
Yeah, 6 months of coaching. And then now at the end of the mastermind, you are charging double that, $10,000. And the way you talked about the transition to how you upgraded your brain and how you started signing clients at the new price effortlessly, it left such an impression on me. And I would love for you to share that with my listeners as well.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's doing a lot of intentional thought work to really cultivate and feel that belief within me. And, you know, like, I think some of the thoughts that really like stuck with me was my work changes lives. And I'm pretty sure you're the one that was like, you kind of coached me to look beyond my 6 months, like mm-hmm. what actually the kind of results that my clients get to create for the rest of their lives, like, you know, in their relationships going forward and in their marriages at work, their work relationship with their bosses, their ability to create, you know, more raises, more money, more success, you know, managing their stress for the rest of their lives, like managing problems and so much easier and just feeling more joy, just as a natural like baseline. And yes, of course there's going to be dips, but like how amazing is it to create a toolbox in 6 months that you get to take with you and use literally for the rest of your life. So
I just want to pause. Remember what you're going to say afterwards, because we're going to come back to it. But that's such an important point. The biggest mistake you can make, everybody, is to think that the value of coaching is in what happens in the 6 month or 3 month, whatever container that they're actually paying you for, because it would be like saying the value of a college education is what happens in the 4 years of college, which is insane. It's the value of a college education is forever. It's like, nobody even cares what you did in those 4 years. It's like, oh, you have a diploma, you're set, right?
Exactly. Like that's such a great analogy. And that's exactly what it is. So when I started to see the shifts that my clients were creating and seeing the shifts beyond that, and also like where they were, where they would be without me having coached them and what their life would look like, you know, what they're getting and what their life would then look like because of the coaching, and just see it kind of like playing out those visions. It was so clear that, you know, of course I can charge more because they're getting a lifetime worth of value. And I started thinking to myself, you know, really, like, I don't charge for 6 months of coaching. I charge for transformation. For a lifetime. Yeah. Like they can't unlearn what I've taught them. They get to take
I have a question. Did you find that the way you work with clients or the way that your clients responded changed after you had that shift in your mind? Like, oh, I'm not just teaching you skills for life. I mean, for now, I'm teaching you skills for life. And you just held them in that bigger vision, that longer vision of what they're capable of.
Sorry, what was the question?
Oh, the question was like, did you find that like the way you work with clients changed like after you had that shift, or was it?
Well, you know what? I was doing the work. I think it was more a shift and a realization in me that the work that I was doing was like
beyond. Yeah.
So that is actually specifically what correlated with me. And I think just my belief in myself the value that they're getting to raise my prices, that was really what helped me in particular with that. I think I knew that I was helping them so much, but I think it was more like, I guess I just had the realization that the value that they're getting is like a value for a lifetime. So of course I can charge more.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
No. It sounds like it's not like you started looking at your work with clients differently. It's that you looked at the same work you were already doing with your clients and you realized, oh, I was really underselling this to myself, right? Like,
yeah, I think,
yeah, like I hadn't realized the full impact of what I have already been doing all along. And so it's not like you started doing something differently. It's like you're suddenly operating from so much deeper belief. And listen, you can only ever sell whatever you have enough belief in or for, right? So once you stepped into seeing how the value before was like 10 units. And now you're looking at it, you're like, oh no, the value is actually like 1,000 units, right? And then when you think about upping your price, it's not like, oh no, they have to give me more money. It's like, oh my God, it's still such a steal for what they're getting from working with me, right?
That's actually one of my intentional thoughts, that like working with me at 10K is such a steal if they're getting a lifetime of value. So yes.
So good. And I want everybody to know that you took months to prepare your mind for the price increase and to work on your belief and to sell yourself on yourself deeply before you actually announced it to your clients or actually started selling at the new price. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think people really underestimate that changing your beliefs, deepening your beliefs actually takes time. You have to take time. You have to build it. And I remember when I first raised my one-on-one price a few times, but each time I did, I prepared my mind for it in advance, several months in advance, at least sometimes a half a year in advance. And I knew like, okay, this is when I want to change my price. And I want to spend the next few months really working on my brain, like getting, you know, down with the idea that this truly is my value, acclimating my body to radiating that new level of value. My friends, that does not happen overnight. So tell us about that.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I kind of forgot. That was like the big thing. So basically, I knew that I wanted to raise my prices, but I also knew that my belief wasn't fully there yet. And you basically said, start now, start collecting the evidence. Like instead of like changing your price, then going through all the mind drama about it, because that's
do
when-
not do like, that.
No. Yeah. That's when all the consults disappear and you're just like, oh my goodness, I'm a failure, which is absolutely not true. So instead, you know, I just started collecting all of the evidence of like how I'm an amazing coach. And part of that process, by the way, was owning my clients' successes as my own. And this is interesting because I always, anytime my clients would say like, oh, thank you, this is so wonderful, I'm learning so much, I was like, no, this is your success. Like I would always put it on them as if like I was just this like bystander. But I finally started to like say like, no, like I'm owning this success. You know, we get to share it, but like, you know, it was such a powerful shift for me. And then I got to start to collect evidence from that space of like, let's look at all of the success that has been created in my coaching container. And as I saw that, as I like literally wrote down in bullet points all of the things, and there was just so much, my belief actually started to grow so fast that it didn't actually take long for me to raise my prices, like, which was very surprising and a very pleasant surprise. So really, like, tangibly, it was just collecting all of the evidence as often as possible. I literally have like my little bookmark, like document that I just, anytime I think of something, I've noticed anything, just goes right in there and I get to read it and just say, yep, that's me.
Okay. Everybody, I hope you wrote all of this down, because it's so good. Like, this is literally the how-to of believing in yourself more, becoming a higher value coach, doing better work, and signing more clients at higher prices. So how's it going since you changed your price? Loving people paying you more money.
Oh my goodness, it's freaking incredible. And I just feel like my clients right now truly are getting like the best version of me, because I believe in myself that much more. I hold space for my clients to believe in themselves that much more.
So
and good. Yeah, it's funny enough, like By the way, the other thought that I had that was super helpful is that my clients have paid me at every single pay increase that I've ever done. So why not the 10K? So when I reminded myself of that, it also gave me that this like comfort that of course clients are coming. It's no big deal. And I didn't make it a big deal. Like when I shifted my prices, it was just, yeah, of course they're going to come. And they did. And I am like honored and so grateful to just step into this like next level of me. Because that's the me that my clients get, which is yeah. the best.
so good. I feel like all of my mastermind students, like they all have different niches and not all, actually only a few of them are business coaches. But I feel like by the time you graduate, you're like, you could be a marketing coach too. You know, like you have so much expertise.
it's so funny that you say that because one of my clients currently, like she sent me some sort of like, one of those, like, I don't know, selling exercise clothes. There's like a party that she's hosting. And it was just this like copy and pasted like invitation. So today I was coaching her. I'm like, wait a second. That is not how you do it. That is not personal. Where is the connection right there?
So if you ever feel like jumping ship, you can just change your niche and become a marketing coach. No, don't do that unless you really want to. But I love that y'all have this much expertise now because you work so hard at it. And you really own that this is now a zone of your excellence, organic marketing and selling. So I am so proud of you. I'm so honored that I got to coach you. And I hope lots of people find you through this episode and hire you. Although there might not be slots, but they can try. Where can they find you, Elizabeth?
I love it. I'm actually one spot away from being fully booked.
Oh, snap. So you might have to get on a wait list.
Yeah. So people can find me at elizabethleviton.com. Simple as that.
Okay. What about social?
Elizabeth Leviton is for Facebook and Elizabeth Leviton_life coach is where they can find me on Instagram.
All right. Everybody go find her.
Thank you, Simone. I love you.
Love you back. And we'll see more amazing things from her in the future. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye. Hey, if you want a shot of fresh inspiration and actionable tips to improve your marketing every single week in your inbox, you better get on my email list. Sign up to receive my free ebook called 20 Unsolicited Copy Tips. It's been known to get people to come out of the woodwork and ask to work with you. So get on that link in the show notes, and I'll see you in your inbox next time.